So my name's Karen. I'm from Washington, D.C., and I'm here because I'm working with a client that is growing really, really rapidly, and so they're in a big recruitment effort, and I'm curious about new ways to do that and how I can help them.
Good morning. My name is Claudia Groß. I'm German. I live in Egypt since 13 years, and yes, I'm super interested in bringing humanity back to work or creating more humane workplaces. I've also created an initiative called Life at Work, and recruitment happens to be one of my biggest passions. So that's why I thought, like, okay, and that's the first session in this conference. That's what attracted me to come. And I think we met before in this Intrinsify in Belgium, right? Yes, exactly.
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm Dorina from Denmark. I'm an associate professor at Aalborg University within the field of learning, also in organizations, and engage in projects with organizational development, but mostly within healthcare and vocational, educational training. So I'm interested in more heart-centered approaches and curious. I've read Lelou's book. It's about all. So I'll follow this track mostly and see what if there are any synergies to my perspectives or the other way around. Ah, it's good. I knew that.
My name is Annette. I'm from Vancouver, Canada. I'm a family physician and I work in organizations that are not because I see the promise of it. I also know that there's a big gap we have and what we wish, and I'm curious.
Good. So I think I have a way how you can diminish the debt. So that deal is not only your shirt. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Robert Cran. I'm from London. I work for a very large Japanese IT services company. I'm a leader in our company. I'm involved in recruitment for people in our part of the business. Way we do recruitment is not teal. So I'd like to take back some learnings and different ways of doing things that I might be able to talk to our HR director of the way we could do things a bit differently.
My name is Sarah Payton, and I live in Vancouver, Washington, which is not Vancouver, Canada. And I have a very small business with 5 contractors, and I'm very interested. Thank you.
And I'm Matthew Wood. I'm Sarah's husband. I have some background in NVC and family constellations. I also work for a large international Japanese company, and we need to change how we recruit.
Hello, I'm Marcos from Greece. I'm the field of counseling and training, and I'm here because the topic is interested, and also a common friend suggested that you know the workshop is quite interesting. Thank you.
I'm Linda Behrens, and I'm from Southern California. And well, actually, I'm here because I present next. That's what got me here, but now I'm interested.
Thank you, Linda. You make my day already. I can just use this, can I?
You wanted to speak. Yes. I'm Michal from Slovakia, and besides being volunteer for this room, for this day, I am also active in civic movements, especially Esperanto and Wikimedia, and would like to use still approach in for recruitment in for these volunteer movements.
Thank you. Just settle in your chair and we will save you to speak to the mic instantly. So you have a half a second to collect your thoughts and then you may share with us what brings you here when you have so many other interesting workshops.
Because I don't need that. I really don't need that. Okay. I'll use it. Because I've watched you working and I've joined in on webcasts. I live in Australia. I don't get to come here often. I wanted to see you live. Wow. And all the rest of people.
Thank you. I didn't know I have so many fans from Australia. No, please stay. Thank you. Thank you. I'm not used yet to have fans that come from Australia to meet me, so. Thank you.
I wonder if, because I heard the word teal be mentioned a couple of times, and I'm relatively new to the colors, so when you describe, maybe you can make that distinction for me.
Okay. Well, teal is just a color then for you. Forget the rest. Yeah. It's more like what Claudia mentioned. It's how do we be more humane and more efficient and more effective all at the same time? So how can miracles happen at work? So that's the sort of what's behind teal. If you think it's anything more specific, you're wrong. It's all that. It was a very short version. So, I said this theme is all about reinventing recruitment. And it's not just recruitment. It's also what people sometimes call talent, whatever they mean by that. Or succession planning is a very old word that sometimes still pops up in such circles. It's all about how do people move on in their life from one job to the next, or seen it from a hiring manager perspective, how do we get the people that actually get the work done? And if you ask a bit further, and what work do you actually mean? Yeah, I don't know so really either. So the real problem is we have things that don't match. Jobs that tend to be a bit square in the way how we analyze them. They are not square, but people describe them as square. And then we have people, clearly, who are not jobs. There's something else, a different category. So if you want to bring two different categories together that have nothing in common, it's a sort of an impossible thing if you want to directly match them. It's a problem that's not solved yet. LinkedIn didn't solve it. Monster doesn't solve it. No HR person ever solved it. But it's their job to do it. The interesting thing is there is something that needs to match people and jobs. And what is that something? And in my life, I was in a much earlier version of mine working at the European Commission, and I got entrusted the task to tell IT people how to bring human resources processes into a human resources portal. Now, this thing of digitalizing HR processes has very much made progress since, but this was the early days, and the IT people really did it themselves, so I had the chance to be very creative. I got a group of people together who were working on processes like how does one person move to the next, and the whole interest from the HR department was how to get the file right. My question went a bit deeper, and I started asking myself, now what is really happening when one person moves from one job to another? And before I give you my answer, just let you stay with that question for a second. What is actually recruitment all about? What is the deeper purpose of that process? What happens when you start a new job? What happens to the organization? What happens to yourself? What is it? A few ideas?
You're excited, but you have no idea what you're doing. You're excited individually, and you also have no idea what you're doing.
Exactly. You change the organization, and the organization changes you.
Annette, we understand each other. We're very close. Some more ideas? An idea over here?
And depending on corporate culture, there's a desire for it to last forever.
Oh, yeah, this is like in marriage. There's actually quite a few similarities.
Well, to answer on that, every time you think something is fixed, it will change. It's fluid.
You mean it's something like a living thing? Yeah, it is. Well, the thing that hit me at some moment in sitting in one of those design workshops was, well, in every recruitment and in every change of person and job, we are creating a new company. So just be more radical than Annette. It's a new start. And like with every new start, we don't know where that will end, whether it will last or whether it will be just a very short moment. It's a jump into the unknown, and for that, it's highly creative. It creates something. It's a mini startup, even in a big corporation, or where I was at the European Commission was a big administration. You think everybody thinks their things are there for given and like carved in stone, but actually with every move of a person, there was a new beginning. So that was kind of what sparked me to see that maybe we need to take it from that new beginning and let people speak about their desire. What are they starting here? So the flesh I got is what really brings jobs and people together, and which could be become a signaling element to do this also over the internet and with the help of computers, is let people express and find their desired success at work. And let's make that happen from two ends, from the job end and from the people end. And in case people want the same success story for their life, for their future, let them have a conversation and validate whether it's truly the same story, and then just have them live it for a while to test. So that's the whole idea that I want to present to you. That's the only innovation I have made in the last 20 years. No, I'm kidding. There have been a few others, and that is problematic for my own life balance to have too many innovations at a time. But this one has kept with me and has kind of changed my life. I quit the commission. I have developed a prototype of IT, which I will show you. And I'm now in conversation with quite a few companies who are interested in playing with this and do it. So before I will kind of open my computer and show you my prototype and so on and get very techy, let's first see what a story does to us. And I would want to invite you to find someone to talk to and have some paper ready to take notes. Or if you're very visual with your computer, maybe even use your computer. So can you find someone in the room that you don't know yet at all, but would be worthwhile getting to know each other a bit more? And do we happen to be equal number? Yeah, it even fits. No. There can be one group of three. That's not a problem. Yeah. Okay. So, and I want you to do some trading now. I want you to exchange stories. And there's two ways to accept to access a story. One is you tell a story, the other one is you listen to a story. And both is very important because it's the story listener who makes a story truly. And this is a help for you to collect your thoughts about a story you want to share. And the idea is to take the time of something like 15 minutes so that you can really share stories both sides, not only one person sharing a story. So that's why I want to have you some paper and so on ready to take notes as a listener. And as a storyteller, there are a few things you might want to consider to have them in your story so your story about job success is complete. So what is your actual success that you got to? So the idea is remember a moment in your life, not too far ago, one of your more recent memories, of a moment you felt like you had an extraordinary success at work. Something was just more than normal. And you had an important part in bringing it about. So just choose one of your many moments of success of the last 2 years. Yeah? Not all of them, just one, okay? And from there, looking back, what was actually the success? What is the difference that you helped bring about? And what did you actually do? What did others do at work? Rarely we work alone, so there might have been a few other actors. What have been conditions for the whole thing to happen? Be them positive or negative, but somehow were important conditions. And when and where did it actually happen? You might give your story even a title, a heading. That's less important, but sometimes it helps. You give a tagline. And what made this thing possible? What was the possibility that was opened through that success? All different dimensions that might come together. If you have all of them, you have a very complete story. If you have most of them, your story is still good enough. So that is when you think about your own story. So all of you may think of your own story. And when we start sharing stories in 2 minutes, then I will give you more few hints how to listen to stories. But first, construct, remember your own stories. You can take a few notes in your notebook, or just look back at this. I can put it also in the middle here, because the light is not really helpful. One story, one moment of success, and then you look back. well, another minute to collect your story, and then we start telling in a second. And here, as you are three, you have the luxury that one is just listening and the other can take notes. You can prepare your three stories. We will see time-wise whether you can share more than two stories, but we will see. Try to be more succinct than the others. Okay. Are your stories coming together, or do we need a bit more time? Yeah, I see nodding here. Stories ready? Good. Before you start sharing your stories, now I turn to all of you that will be listening. That's also everybody, because while the one person tells a story, you are the listener, and then you will turn, and then you will become a storyteller, and the other one will listen. So when you listen, I ask you to please look for three levels of things that you hear in the story, or events. There are events, like if you had been with the storyteller, you would have looked over her shoulder, you would seen her doing things like that you could have seen. Like something like, I met my future boss at a conference in Sjofok. That would mean kind of you could have been at the conference and observed how they would have had their first encounter. Okay? There are things that you don't see, even if you would have been a bystander. They're happening internally to the person. For the initiated among you, you move from the outer to the inner quadrants. And so what happens inside is also important because it gives meaning to what you see outside. So like if then the story would continue, and I went to the conference because I felt so lonely and had no real colleagues I could share my heart passions with at work, and I thought I might find some in Sjofok, then this is a motivation. So take this a bit higher in your laddering here. So the basis is things you can see. At this middle level, you would collect motivations like that. I want to meet other like-minded people would be a motivation. Sometimes, but not always, sometimes you hear something like a leitmotif in the story, something that gives meaning to the whole thing. Like, my whole life feels like igniting a fire between people that have a lot of passion. This might sound like a weak version of an overarching life or leitmotif that you could capture at the very top. So don't feel frustrated if you only get these two. Sometimes it's just like what you get. And some further times it becomes very clear, oh, yeah, it's all about learning and development, and this is the leitmotif here, something like that. And we don't know yet what it is, so forget all the examples I gave you and be just fresh. Don't think of a rose elephant, you know that one. And just observe what you hear in the story. What's the observable things? Note those down. And then sometimes you hear something you couldn't have seen, but the storyteller is generous and shows some of the internals to you as well. So then note those down. And maybe between all these internals, a very strong motive pops up, which is like the motive of the motives. Note this down a bit higher. Okay. Are the listeners ready? So just decide who is listening first. So then the other one, get ready to share your story. Don't hold back any longer. You will have 3 minutes or so for a story, so just tell it quickly. It doesn't need to be a very long story, more a passionate story. Cool. So storytellers, please make sure you come to the essence, to the point of your story. There's a minute left. So please switch if you didn't do yet already. Okay. As a storyteller, make sure you're making your point. There's half a minute left. Okay. See that you come to an end. Just check here with our group of three. Did you share three stories or just two? Can you stand in holding back your story a bit longer? Wow, thank you. I know the sacrifice that is not to be able to tell a story. So we'll catch up. Good. Okay. Would you like to share some of your observations? just to give an idea how to analyze stories. So please come back to the plenary for a moment. Maybe just a few impressions. How are you now after you told your story? What did it do to you, this process?
I assume it's not about just me telling my story. It's more about the resonance that was created between us and in the whole field after we shared two completely different stories from different parts of the world, but somehow they were similar, at least in terms of the purpose and the meaning that united us. And it was all about seeing this request for more humanity at work.
Thank you. So this is a sort of interesting pointers that we are different, but somehow there is something that unites us. You can hear that in stories. Yeah, wonderful. Just need to turn on my recorder here. So, more observations from your experience, especially from a storytelling perspective. This was already telling and listening. What does it do to you to share your story? Yeah.
In telling the story, I became alive.
Thank you. I'm amazed. It always happens. Not only with you. That's what I mean. It's built into the process. Yeah, here.
We had such similar stories. They were so beautifully intertwined. And, of course, telling my story was... I love telling my stories. I'm endlessly fascinated by myself. But I found it beautiful to listen, and then that total intertwined similarity was just so heartwarming.
Wow. And just observe, all of you met here for probably the very first time in your lives. So you meet and you have the impression you already have so much in common. And you could have been knowing each other since three lifetimes already. Amazing, huh? Imagine this happens in your companies. People that are actually colleagues discover the same depth of connection. There's actually some chance they're already more connected. They already know each other, seemingly. One more comment here? Okay, now I want to switch and focus more on the listening, and I would like to have one of you, maybe you, can you just tell one of the stories, not retell the story, but just share your notes. So tell the story in a structured way so that we just see the elements, how you took them in these three categories of what you could observe, what were motives, and what was, if there was, is there an overall purpose? And I will... copy here on the chart. Yes, please.
So this was Markus' story, and he was got the opportunity to work with teens. He usually works with adults. And he took them through a similar process that he does with adults, where people are focusing on their strengths. And finding their own voice. When they left, they were completely different. They were working with him for 4 hours. When they left, they were completely different. Liberated. Yes. And what he experienced was that that the intention and process with people can be the same, whether it's a board of directors or a kindergarten. Appreciation, love, pure intention, focusing, devotion, trust. And yeah, those seemed like they came up to purpose. Yeah.
Very, very, very condensed motivation story here. So there is a process work which was done with a new target group. It was strength-based, so probably a few more words I could have taken here. The process was given by the storyteller so that there was change possible. And the motivation, we hear kind of like a professional motivation. I know of one method. Could this work here too? And then the learning, wow, the same process is a human process. It works from kindergarten to the graveyard at all levels of career that we have in between. And the deeper meaning of this whole was, how can we have trust with each other? So I don't know whether that's true, but I saw Markus smiling. Do you feel like listened to when I get you now the second version of listening without even having been at your story?
It is always beautiful to listen your story from the eye of the observer. So you know, in every case there is some truth. And it is a wonderful connection.
So what you observe, the research that we are doing with stories is to get to this more archetypical, more abstract version of a story. So we could now take Marco's story and give another heading to it, make it a female story and change context and have a different process here. And still the whole thing would still be the same story, although it might be told in a different context. That was important for us, to get to stories that are transferable from one context to another, because the purpose for doing this is of course this. We want to have that matchmaking capacity. So how can the story be told that I still feel my heart beating faster while it is actually the story of someone else? And you were sharing that happened instantly. This field thing worked. It worked there, it worked here. You started knowing each other, although you didn't know each other. And that's exactly the effect that I wanted to make useful for the building a career for individuals and for finding a team that works with passion and not just because they need to earn money. So how do we unlock productivity in organizations is by having people showing they're up fully. That's one of the teal qualities, have the whole person be at work. And what could be more whole than have meaningful work that really gives you reason to show up every day for it and wanting to be there, not just happen to be there. So we work on one of the biggest divide, the work divide, that so many people run around, seemingly occupied, but this is because they just have to work something so that they have subsistence. But what if the contract between the organization and the worker is, we are both here because we have a mission to accomplish together? So much more motivating. And you don't need to raise any salary from an organizational perspective to get so much more out of your workers, partners, and employees, because simply there's meaning that comes for free, so to speak. Just costs a bit of attention and effort. But it's not a monetary investment, it's a social investment. So what I would want to share and hear your feedback and comments, now we need to get this thing up and work again. I give this to Misha's skillful hands here. Can you get this up and working again? Is how we transferred this. It's a computer. Aha. How we transferred this to the computer. And we will get an image from my computer in a moment. The whole vision was that I was developing this IT development together with my colleagues then at the European Commission. The question was, how can people cut the time that they spent, sometimes for years, to find the next job? So the worst and the whole process of people moving from one position to another was the search time. Everything else could be done rather swiftly, like once you meet your new boss and you feel like you want to work there, the rest was administration, was still awful, very complicated, and took a lot, too much time, but that was the easy part. the part that was really hard to get accelerated is for the two to have that first meeting in the first place. How do they find each other? So the finding was really the problem. And now, let me see how I move on here. So there's a big problem that in the current computer systems, people have job descriptions or they have their CVs somehow. So who of you is using LinkedIn? Oh, so you know that. So that's a super platform that's used by recruiters and is used by individuals to basically show to the world what you are available for. So people can just hire you straight from LinkedIn. It looks like the intranet of any corporate organization. It is a bit boring and gray, I must admit. It's not like Facebook, flashy and colorful, but it serves exactly that purpose. And they have designed it according to the normal processing standard of human resources professionals. These were standing there at it. So what do you get in a LinkedIn profile is basically your CV, recommendations by peers, kind of everything you would normally ask for a recruitment process. So that's sort of the state of the art. You see it implemented for a computer in LinkedIn. How many of you have been hired to a job that was changing your life to the positive through LinkedIn already? Yeah, that's a problem. Because the cultural fit, that is what recruiters say, is what really matters, while the computer is not good at that. Claudia.
Just to add this to LinkedIn, because I remember IKEA, Swedish furniture company, they once were asking for a sustainable, I don't know what, officer, and the way to apply was just to send the LinkedIn profile, and it was on one click, so the application was actually as fast as erecting their furniture, and I found this quite genius, you know, we were laughing, but now since you mentioned this, I never thought it's meant to be like this, it's just they used it like this, but it's good to know.
I think LinkedIn was inspired by IKEA too. And you, as a recruiter, you pay just a modest fee on a yearly basis, which is not so modest actually, and then you can play with all this. You can contact people, get all sorts of search. The thing is, you search for the less relevant data. So my question is, if you are in this matching world, how do you get the relevant data? And here we come back to stories. So this was a slideshow to tell you my whole story. But so that was the question. How can we integrate stories into a rather structured linear recruitment process? And it's possible. That's the good news here. So this is how the process works. The first is, we just did that. We do story gathering workshops. That is, we work with a company that wants to improve their recruitment. So we could also work just with one department in Belgium. And what we would do is, we would run workshops that are similar to what you just had. A bit more complete. So this was just a teaser. But you already see in the just collecting and sharing stories how fast you get already to what we are looking for. We are looking for this field effect to set in. This aha, this kind of heartbeat accelerating. That's the quality we are after. And what we do is we then analyze and edit the stories after this analytical process I just showed you the beginning of, so that we can put them in a database. There will be all the stories of possible success in your department because they have been told by the stories worked by the people working in the department and will come into a database. This database can be 10 stories big, it can be 50 stories big. It's rarely 50. It's more kind of 3 to 5 for most departments because the success of Misha can look very similar to the success of Annette, although you might not even know each other. The thing is, the moment we go more to the archetypes of success stories at work, we will find out there is not so many versions of success out there anyway. So we simplify the whole diversity in getting into archetypes of success. Now there is a few reasons there's not so many success archetypes available. One is the industrialization of work. Work has become so similar across the board all over the place. If you have an office job, there may be 10 versions of be successful, that's it. Whatever the company is, whatever your location is, because our work has become so similar. If you include things like crafts jobs and being out in nature and so on, well, then context differs a lot, and then also the variability becomes much larger. But if you think you only need to have people that have some programming skills and work on IT and are engineers by background, this is the kind of keywords you can look for already in LinkedIn. But then how do you narrow down to those that really want to work with you? Well, you need your stories. So then the next step is, once we have analyzed and stored these stories, we make this database available for others to choose from. That can be in-house. Probably many people would be just happy if they only knew that they only need to move two offices further to have happiness at work, rather than continue having this frustrated conflict with their boss where they are now. And many people are much happier to move inside the company because the change is much less dramatic, the risk is much lower than if they move from one company or from one city to another and so on. I have had a long expat career, and I can tell you, moving one country to another only because of work, well, you consider this twice.
I would like to confirm what you're saying, because I actually did that. I just moved two doors further to a new department, and I'm very happy. Yes, it's and I did the same for a year. I was searching all over the place, and in the end, it was just two doors ahead. And actually, the recruitment process in our new department is exactly what you're describing. For years, we've been describing our stories in a very simple, basic format. And then we go to job fairs for students, and then we bring our young colleagues, and they tell their stories. Works very well.
It looks like we're on the same page here. Wonderful. Thank you. Now, if you bring this in an IT system, people can do it from all over the world. You don't need to go to job fairs. They do it online already. They invite their Facebook friends and so on, so you can go viral in recruitment, especially if they like it. Now, I was testing this with young applicants of the European Union when I started. I had heard more than 50 different people sharing their success stories across all different areas of a rather complex organization, and boiled it all down to something like 20 plus stories that were distinct. And then I tested this with people that were interested in working with the European Union, and they went through 25 stories, each of them. It was tedious, they needed to read many stories, but some said, wow, this is mind-blowing, I like so many of these stories, I really want to work there. And there was other reaction was, oh my God, these stories, they are boring, they are heartbreaking. I don't find a story here. Rainer, something is wrong here. I really want to work for the EU, but all these stories are wrong. So basically the thing worked. Not everybody who thinks they want to work there should go work there, because this disappointment the person had at this moment, she would have had for 10 years while still trying to find a job where there is no job for her. The other person who was so excited, she's still working for the EU now since 15 years. Not always happy though, but at least she found a place where she wanted to continue her life. So that is the thing, you make a distinction, and people can test even before they go there whether their heart beats much faster or not at all. And the frustration of not feeling the heartbeat, it's great to have it before they even apply. You save so much garbage in your process. So people, recruiters share with me how many applications they get and how frustrated they are to have to be very humane with more than 100 applicants, and per application they have something like 90 seconds time. So solving that problem is by only having 5 applications, not 100. Hello.
Rainer, how would you see the process when the main motivation is the paycheck?
It's the same, because paycheck means I need a job. Once that's accepted, like, yes, we have jobs for you, but which one? People need to have a second go. Like, if you had the choice between 20 jobs, which one would you take? And we ask, instead of job, what's the story that makes you more attracted? And if people are just there because they just need money and want to work as little as possible and spend all the rest of their motivating lifetime with their family or with their hobbies or something else, or write their PhD thesis instead, where they don't think it's work, that's also fine. But then they can also go through LinkedIn. But then they need a story where this is the story. I could combine what I did with what really mattered to me, and I was happy. I just needed to be there with limited attention, limited time, and so on. So that can be a story too.
Another question that I have is, when I think about Amazon and people are publishing books, you know, and then they ask their friends for recommendations about a book that might not have read yet, and they write things. So I'm wondering, this also could be hacked in the way of, I'm telling my team members, okay, you have to write a good story about our department, right. You know. So what if something like this happens? How would I... what do we do with these fake stories?
It's like with Amazon, people come back that bought the book and said, what a garbage, completely wrong. You need to have a rating system. And the thing is, what I did in designing this is to create the veil of ignorance, as some called it, in ethical theory. The thing is, you don't know what are the jobs behind the application. And the ones who are publishing jobs, they don't have a real interest in showing fake stories and then get fake applicants. So they want to have the real people to function on the real work, and that is a promise. You don't know who is applying, and the applicants don't know what are the jobs, because all what they relate to is the desired success. And once that link is made, they see who fits their desired success. So people have a much higher incentive to be authentic than not. The first thing you see is a story. You don't see the job. Well, you can, of course, in communication, turn it around. We have a wonderful, sexy job here. If you want to apply, test first whether that's for you. And then people don't see the job anymore. They only see stories to relate with. I will show you this on my prototype in a second.
Ever heard of glass door? Glass door.
Glass door?
Yeah. Do you know what it is? Anyone know what Glassdoor is? So Glassdoor is the truth about your organization from the people who left in reality because they were unhappy. So I was sitting here thinking, actually, why doesn't my organization have its own Glassdoor about the people, why they left and why they're unhappy? Because then that's the real truth that you could actually respond to say, well, actually, maybe we failed them or maybe they weren't the right candidate. So you get an objective kind of view, because the glass door otherwise is I'm looking at this organisation, I want to join it, but actually everyone's saying it's rubbish or everyone's saying it's great, but actually it's not necessarily telling the truth because it's manipulated data, to be honest, and in some ways a lot of things. So I see your stories. If you want to be a successful organization, you need to be honest about the truth and have your own glass door to be authentic. So that's an idea I've got out of your very good session.
I would even say you can be completely appreciative and stay with the positive stories, like you want to get a job based on your strength rather than on your weaknesses, because what do you work with is typically your strength. And if some people are unhappy, that doesn't mean you would be unhappy. The thing is, we are really different. We are liking things for different reasons, and we are disliking things for different reasons. So hearing a general blah, 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 blah about a company culture might be a bad thing for the company because their reputation is going down. It doesn't mean that me or you shouldn't apply there. We might have very meaningful work there. So in that sense, I wanted to break down this sort of one-size-fits-all approach that is so pervasive in our industrialized work, especially in human resources processes, that you have one process for everything. I wanted to allow differentiation to happen. That's why the stories. So what I would show you now is a bit this, how does this look in reality? You need to get out here. and enter there. So this is my own profile in the prototype. What you see here is a number of headings that are all relating to a story. So there are five stories I selected, stories I positively connected with. And I show you one of these stories to give you an idea. And this is when you do something like this, you don't see anything. Wonderful. Might have to do with the screen settings. Yes. Sorry, doesn't work like I wanted. Good. Well, normally you see something. On your own computer, you see something. You see the story, actually. So I can tell you the story here. There was one story that is called, I sabotaged and killed the dysfunctional system. It's a story from a large corporate background where you have these pervasive systems that nobody can ever get away with because they're just there. They always have been there. They will always be there. And there's no single person that can take any decision about the system, but everybody is complaining about it. And the story goes, well, we had such a system. It didn't work. And I stopped repairing the bugs. I stopped maintaining it. We were stopping doing any workarounds. We just let the system work as it was supposed to work. After half a year, everybody was screaming so loud, actually there was a decision made to buy another IT system and to just let it all go. So someone who is such subversive as a strategist and stops maintaining the dysfunctional, that is quite a strategic element. Now imagine companies want that. So certain behaviors that are normally criminalized in organizations are also taught in these organizations because for some people, this sort of deviating behavior is a success. So other stories are about people that say, my boss told me, don't do this. Actually, I exactly did that. And later my boss was very happy because otherwise we would have all had a big problem. So bosses that say, I like this story, they show something about the desired culture there at work, at least of how the boss wants to be seen. Whether they really are like that, you will need to find out. But at least you have a boss that's open to discuss these sort of a bit tricky things. So these are the sort of stories you find here. They speak about cultural important distinctions, like what is really allowed here, even if it's not allowed. And then, once you have such a profile with us, which takes, by experience, something between 20 and 30 minutes, you select stories in a structured selection process, you will have your profile, and then you can click on opportunities. This at least works. Aha, that was the problem. I was locked out. Okay. Let's log in back. Okay, maybe I can show you now the story. Yes, now it works. So here you could read the text now. Okay, now I understand the bug. And now let's look for opportunities. What I then see is a list with basically advertisements from people that are looking for people. And luckily for me, I've matched 95% my own job. Well, some of the work I'm actually doing myself, which is this first year in German. This year is an actual job description, a job ad from a Teal-oriented organization in Brighton, UK. So this is a real call that was traveling through Facebook and put it here. It's a job as finance and commercial director. Then we have a job here in German for people to sell natural household products and so on. So all these jobs have in common that they fit my desired combination of stories. So which makes, if I apply for such a job, like here, apply anymore, the deadline is over. Okay. No, this was type of offer. I need to go to the details. So here I can read more details. Let's see the long job description, including the starting salary and so on. And then I can click on contact and enter the application process. So that's inspired by LinkedIn. So what this prototype does is showcase you opportunities, and as an applicant, you can get in contact with the people behind the job offer very quickly, and they don't know that who you are before you get in contact. So your data are completely private. You are not found by the recruiter like in LinkedIn, but you find the opportunity and you apply. Yes.
They are
they see the match. They see the match. Now I can show you the other side. If I want to create a new offer, I add some text here. This is just this classical job ad things. And there's a few categories you need to fill so that it is at least part of the system. So this is what you would do in any newspaper, actually. Kind of what is the sort of job advertisements you do. So a very simple job here. How could you become a presenter at IEC? And now it gets the interesting part. I qualify this now with success stories. So if we can do this now together. What for you would be a great presenter at Inter-European Conference? You see the headings of the story. Which one would you choose? Just the first one, first served. I established a novel program. That one, that looks like topical. Okay, let's look into this. It's a pretty long story. Sorry for that one. Mm-hmm. And I see a formatting issue here. Ah, here we go. So just glance it through, and let's say it's a must-have. We want people to be working at that level. This sort of success really mirrors what we want here, okay? And we say it's a must-have. What you see, already we have one story in our collection, and it continues. What the system does is, based on your choices, it offers you stories that are already learning from the stories you have chosen. What they have behind the system is a developmental system. So I'm using developmental stages as a reading from what people share in their stories. So the theory behind this says every job has a level of accountability that corresponds to a level of development expressed in social emotional stages. So I have the Keegan, the Robert Keegan model is running behind the scenes here. So, and what I do is, once a story is chosen, we offer more stories around the range of development that are closer to that story, while still offering quite a spread. So if people want something that's very different, they still find that. So this is how it becomes an integral tool. Yes?
What are the key parameters that you use to program the search engine? Are there keywords or some linguistic constructions? What is it?
It's no keywords. It's what's written between the lines and the text of a story.
So the system can analyze it. How it works?
Yes. It's not the IT system that pretends to be like a human. So it's not artificial intelligence. It's real intelligence by real human people that rate the stories. And then the rating of the story is in the IT system, so then it's a very simple algorithm that can do the work. Like I see here the paragraph, I felt after some further conversations that she agreed in principle that it was difficult for her to let go of her being in control. You have met people like that before? There is a classical developmental thing kind of between people that are very self-centered to actually be met by someone that's equally self-centered than them, and then to enter in that space in between and to give the control into that space. That's a ceiling for many people. It's the kind of the switch between tier one and tier two in integral terms. Or for those that don't, that is the first step of teal as a color, so to speak. If that sets in, then we are getting there. So this is a story about this move beyond I am in charge and control and I know everything to actually there are other people that also know a lot and truly I don't know. And I trust that the don't know is even more important than the know. People that would come into this, they would be beyond this stage. So basically we have a stage expression in a few lines in a longer story. Shall we say, is it nice to have or is it essential for integral European conference presenter? Must have, huh? We don't want to have it below. Okay, cool. I sense you're getting there. That was quick. I have been talking to HR professionals and they didn't get it after months. So, do you want to have a third one just for the game of it? This one? Yeah, I was guessing you were getting there. It's also a must-have or this is good to have? Just have a look at the story. But it's really like the heading. What are the stories you want to hear from presenters? Because you are now the recruiters altogether. So what is essential, what is good for an IAC presenter to give you? It's good to have. You could also have an expert that just talks about nice things they do. They don't need to speak about their own life experience necessarily. Okay, thank you. Okay, we would have still two more to go or throw, but... So let's do maybe one more fast and then just one to have it done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are starting to normalize here, I see. We are getting straight to stories that really fit to each other. And tell me, nice to have, good to have, another story.
It's working. It's working. But for some reason it doesn't come.
It's not connected to the loudspeakers anymore? Okay.
The recording is still on. So
good. Aha. So what's your assessment? Good to have? Yeah? No strong objection here? Okay, good. Yeah, they still need one more story. So sorry, it's a bit exhaustive to be precise. So for presenting reasons, two stories would be nice. You see, get the idea. But to really do it, it takes a bit longer. The surfaced prompt. And as you notice, most stories we have in here, they are sort of from office jobs, like anybody who has worked in a corporate office can relate to it. But in case you are a carpenter or a physician, you might have some hard time to get into the context. So sorry for those of you that are more like manual workers. Must have? Must have. So, now we can publish this. And here we see how we are doing. So this was Gastgewerbe Fachkraft, was a job in Berlin. They have 55 relevant users. We are better, we have 81 relevant users. Azubi Gastgewerbe means kind of entry job, like post-intern. First level apprentice for jobs like working at the canteen, and presenter at IAC, well, we just did it, so you know this is this sort of job. And in our database we have more people for the IAC presenting possibly than for the entry level job. That was a time reminder, so we have 10 minutes left until a short break. Okay. So here we see just the statistics. We see that there are 81 people who will have this job offering now on top of their list or in the top range of their list. So basically we know our publication will hit 81 people straight in their heart. So that is what you get as someone who's searching for people. And with this, you have already seen the basics of the system. It doesn't need to do more. It's really focused on just that, how to match. So any more questions for the last 10 minutes? Because then we will have a short break and move on to Linda to give us another insight into how people relate to meaning and life and things like that.
Thank you. I was just curious about the scoring system behind it, if it is based on sentence completions or like others, Lectica or... So it was...
This is a system to not have to have sentence completion. You have the stories instead. You could use it as a simple developmental assessment tool without needing to do recruitments.
I was actually maybe asking for the scorers, how they work in principle.
Scorers read the story and score the story. For them, the completed sentences are the story itself. What then happens with the probands, the people that are in front of the screen, they are writing the whole story. They are not writing their own stories. There is no sentence to be completed. we took a different avenue than Susanna and others who asked people to, or Bill Torbert or so, who asked people to fill in sentences. I found this method less accurate than giving people fully scored text that's already there, because then you don't need to score every individual. You score the story once and the scoring is done. The rest can be done by the computer. I was looking for a simple way to do mass scoring. Because the mass scoring is what I need if I want to have people applying in masses for many jobs.
What's the success? What's the success? So if this is a different way of how we recruit people then to the LinkedIn world, then in with the organizations you're working in, what's the success in their mind? You know, if you have 100 people who apply for a job on the LinkedIn world and actually, you know, we get 10 people and of those 10, you know, only one stays after a year because we've got the wrong person, as an example, what's your success in retention and, you know, accelerating the speed of recruitment and all those great things?
I don't have data yet, but I'm highly confident that I can beat LinkedIn. Because the whole approach is just so more targeting on the real thing. So it's you. If you work with more relevant data, the chances of getting more to the relevant results are just better. So that is what gives me the confidence. But I need people like you with whom we can play and do some testing and just find out. So we could do some control groups, like you do some parts of your organization not knowing of this and just continuing recruitment like before, and other parts that are working with this, and then we compare certain success factors of the recruitment process.
But you have a company in Brighton, so my client is in Brighton. So I'm very interested, is that a startup company? Is that a big company? Or is
the company, I showed you their ad, they didn't use the full process. I was just, for courtesy and I liked them, I was just using their advertisement here. So that was the only job of theirs that was here. And their company name is actually here. They're working in the health system. A very, very, enlightened company, very interesting, cheerful leaders. People can do a lot out of freedom already in this company. So that would fit them, but they weren't there yet to do it. I did some other work with them. So, more questions before we adjourn. Or do you feel like you have learned enough? Yes.
Do the stories have to be told in a certain format, or can the stories be used that, say, our company is already building up as a database? Does it have to be a certain way or not?
For that, I would need to have a look at your stories, and then I can tell you. The stories need to be told in a way that, from a developmental scoring perspective, I could make a developmental assessment based on the story. So if the stories are too vague or not precise on certain developmental features, then these need to be edited in. Okay. More questions? Otherwise, Linda, I think we should make a short break. No. The last question before the break.
Thank you for this presentation. I got inspired. I'm wondering whether you have any data experience with whether people stayed in their jobs when they were employed on the story based. Is this one that you also asked? Yeah.
I can tell you about this in 10 years.
That's good. It's because, I mean, you know, in storytelling, there is this front stage, backstage thing, that when we are in front, we tend to tell stories and we tend to get in love. And then when we've been married for a year, then reality, you know, comes and the work starts. And the organization may not be actually ready for that partnership, or the other way around. So,
there are questions to reflect upon.
That's very true, and that's already the case. people tend to show their best self and sell themselves away at the job. The company does the same. They just make themselves very beautiful. They do the same with stories of their desired success. However, if they really focus on the success that the work should be doing, they tend to be a bit more objective because they are not showing off yet in front of the person. The person is not there yet. So that allows to be a little bit more authentic. The same for the person. I mean, they don't know yet what jobs are there. They know they're just working on their search criteria. So that gets the performance wish a bit dampened. So that is the improvement I see that we do through the process design. And then I would love to answer that question in 10 years based on many companies that are using this and see the difference it makes, including retention rate. There's one retention that I could say is a very positive prognostic. If you have a whole company screening, or a whole department screening at least, and the whole department stories are there, and there is many of the open positions that are reflecting the stories that I'm looking for, there's a big likelihood I will be at least in the right department and might not stay in the first job, but with the second job at the latest, I feel like, oh, I have found the career for my life. Like with this lady that entered the European Union administration, because there were so many stories that were positive for her. Whereas if there's really only one story that makes the match, I know I might be here for a short time already in advance. So the stress of the marriage not working is much less because we agreed on a one-night stand, so where's the problem? Okay, this looks like a 5-minute break, and then with fresh energy, we meet with Linda. Thank you.